Welcome to the Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President and CEO of the Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine. And can I just say that that opening music always makes me smile.
I'm so happy
dance,
you said
dance
that.
Dance a little.
I was just going to, because I was going to totally sell you out. I looked up and I just about laughed out loud because you were over there grooving along. And I was like, yeah, I'm kind of feeling it too today, especially. I don't know if it's just like the sun's out.
Or I think it is.
It's like summer time.
We have senioritis without.
Yeah, something.
Like latent.
But I looked over there and I was like, oh, you're doing the like studio booth wiggle.
I mean, come on.
I know. It's all good. It's all good. And speaking of summer, I am headed somewhere super, super in the middle of summer with lots of humidity on Monday. So it's about to get real stuffy for the wine grower team and a bunch of our vineyard employees. So.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit more about that. You leave for Washington, D.C.
Why, thanks for asking.
I know.
Did I tee that up?
I couldn't wait. But I will just say the hottest I've ever been maybe in my lifetime was a July 4th in Washington, D.C. Watching one of the parades and these poor kids are in wool uniforms marching and drumming and fluting. And I'm like,
it's spicy there in the summer. There is no doubt. But we will not even be paying attention because we're going to be having such an incredible trip. This is the second time we, through our foundation, are able to take a group of our vineyard employees who are part of our Leadership Academy, which is a program we're so excited about in its third year, which literally helps sort of workforce development program for vineyard employees, teaching skills beyond farming, financial literacy and communications and conflict resolution, all sorts of great skills. And we're taking the third class to Washington, D.C. We always like to say thank you to Alaska Airlines because they gave us, as they like to quote, the gift of flight, which I think is such an amazing way to think about it and look at it. But we are taking the class with us. We're headed to D.C. early on Monday morning. We're flying out of San Francisco and then into Reagan Airport. And Monday night, we have such a great itinerary, but Monday night we are landing and we'll be doing a cruise of the Potomac River just to have a nice dinner. You get to see some of the monuments. It's kind of a way for everyone just to kind of decompress, but also manage nerves and excitement about being in Washington, D.C. For most of these folks, it's their first time in D.C. Some of them, it's their first time on a plane. And most of them haven't traveled really outside of Mexico, California. So when you talk to them, it's unless they really have family somewhere else in the U.S., you know, the men and women who are in agriculture here don't, you know, get to travel a lot. So we will be taking them to D.C. We do the Potomac River. Tuesday is a full day of just visiting the monuments and understanding the history of our capital and our country. And I know last year, you know, folks were just in awe of seeing up close these monuments that they typically see in movies or read about in their history books. So meaningful. So many pictures, if it's anything like last year. I love, we have pictures of people taking pictures of taking pictures. So like there was like a whole thing happening. We will be having dinner with Congressman Thompson. And then what's really exciting, kind of the most important day is the Wednesday where we spend all day at the Capitol. So we will be doing meetings at the Capitol. We get a tour from Congressman Thompson's staff. And then what is going to be just awesome is we are hosting the Congressional Wine Caucus. A wine reception.
Right, yeah.
And where our vineyard employees are going to get to tell their story. They're going to get to do that all, obviously, all week long, but certainly that day about what it's like to work in Sonoma County, what it's like to be stewards of our vineyards here, what it's like to be Mexican American or Latino in our country. So just an incredible once in a lifetime experience. So what an exciting week we have ahead.
Yeah. Do you bring some of the wine or does Congressman Thompson already have like a nice stash?
Great question. He does have a nice stash.
Yeah.
But we send out in advance wines that every vineyard employee has grown the grapes from.
Oh, okay. Even better.
So at every dinner at the wine caucus reception, the employees can go and showcase a bottle of wine that they literally were responsible for growing those grapes, which is just awesome.
Yeah.
I know.
What a sense of pride and ownership.
I think I'm going to sleep between now and then because it's like, you just have so much energy when you hit the ground there. Adrenaline. So it's so exciting. Yeah.
Well, let's get on to our show then. You got some resting to do. We'll be right back on The Good Stuff. Today on The Good Stuff are Ben Papapietro and Yolanda Papapietro. And boy, I sure hope I'm saying your name correctly, but you can correct me in a minute. You are both the owners of Papapietro Perry Winery. And Ben, you're the executive winemaker. Yolanda, you handle distributor relations. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, welcome. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we're super excited to have you in studio. And are we saying the name right?
Yes, Papapietro. So you cut it in half. Papapietro, you can't go wrong.
Perfect.
Okay. I tried.
I think you did pretty well. That's good. We're off to a roaring
start. It will get better over time. So tell us a little bit. I mean, we want to know your entire story, but tell us first, what brought you to Sonoma County?
Well, I live in San Francisco, and my grandparents had a summer home in Boyce Springs. And so we always were in the late 40s, early 50s there. And then as kids in high school, we used to go to the Russian River. Everybody, you know. It was the run, but the only thing is you had to go, 101 wasn't built yet, so it was a two-lane highway that you had to stop in Nevada, so it took hours and hours to get up here.
But you came anyway. So
we did.
So was it common for families in San Francisco to have homes in Boys? Was that, you know, just sort of a common thing, and you had other families that you got to know there?
Not only Sonoma, but, you know, all like Russian River and Boyce Springs and the town of Sonoma, I think. This area was known as a vacation area. It was close enough for the families to take a ride, make it a day trip.
And was your family into wine at all at that point? Would you ever come up and spend time at wineries?
Well, when I was a kid, I would stay with my grandparents for a couple of weeks at a time in Boyce Springs. And my grandfather made wine in the Mission District of San Francisco.
Oh, wow.
But when he came up here, he would take me and we would go to the different wineries, and there wasn't many. I think it was Sebastiani, it may have been early on. And the two Italian guys would get into a discussion about how much for a gallon of wine. It started at $1.50, no, 85 cents.
Oh,
and it went back and forth. And in the meantime, they gave me a little folded paper cup to try. At 9 years old, I was.
Wow.
So I got an early start in drinking wine.
That's amazing. And negotiations.
Yes.
That's
right, which comes in handy in the wine industry, I'm sure. Okay, so this is a good beginning. How about you, Yolanda? Are you from San Francisco as well?
Native San Franciscan as well. We spent our summers up in the Russian River, Gurnwood, Gurnville. Rio Nito was the hot spot.
Oh, really?
Lots of fun there, you know, through all our, you know, elementary and high school, all the way through college too. So
this is cool.
So then how did you meet?
I want to know if she drank wine.
Oh yeah,
or, did you have a grandfather that would take you wine tasting at 9 years old?
No. Actually, I would say I was a wine drinker probably in my early 20s. Mm-hmm. And then of course when Ben and I started dating, we're very serious wine tasters, and we had friends who were in the industry also. And we would come up to Forestville to visit our friends, and I used to say it was the lost weekend. We'd start Friday, and we were lucky to get home by Sunday night.
The early barrel sample weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And hardly anybody went to that. It was a new, when it first started, so you could actually meet the winemaker. They'd actually be the guy pouring the wine, and maybe there was 20 people total and, you know, going from winery to winery.
Wow.
And as that picked up, that's really, really changed.
For sure.
Mm. Yeah.
But you said that by the time you two met, and we can get into how that all happened, but because Carissa loves the relationship story. But you were serious wine drinkers. Like, how did you become serious wine drinkers? What was it that sort of instigated that or fed that? Did you spend time in other wine regions? Was it San Francisco, just the food scene in San Francisco?
I had a great job at the newspaper. I was a Teamster and was making great salary. So I had a couple friends that we would do a tasting group. And one of our friends was Bert Williams, who worked at the newspaper and was very fortunate in the late 60s to meet Bert. And so we had an early start, and with my finances, I could afford to buy really nice wines. At that time, it was reasonably priced, both European and there wasn't that many California wines, yeah. But certainly the prices were right. But then when Yolanda and I got married and had children, that disposable income that I used for buying wine got used for education. And so I had to come up with a different plan. So in 1980, I actually started making wine in San Francisco in my basement. So as a home winemaker and garagista.
And getting the grapes from where?
Pardon?
Where did you get the grapes for your home winemaking?
Well, at first I was buying directly from, you'll love this, from Berkeley Wine and the People, which you could buy anywhere from 50 pounds to 250 pounds in a blue food grade bin. So I would buy. There wasn't very much Pinot, and I had a real interest in Pinot because my friend Bert had been a home winemaker doing Pinot and was knocked out about the wines he was making. But there was very little, if any, Pinot around. So I started making Cab, Merlot, Cabernet Franc blends. And so I did that for most of the time. I was a home winemaker from 80 to 88. One time I got a little Pinot grapes, but then after 88, I started getting a solid source of Pinot, and then it took off, and I just started making Pinot in my cellar in 89 through 97 as a home winemaker.
So what was this amazing source?
Well, first it was two grape producers in right off of River Road, Lone Redwood Ranch and Mazzetti, those two guys I met. And so we were making little bits of Pinot from there. And we stayed with them until we decided to go commercial in 98. And then we expanded our look for more sources.
Okay, so Yolanda, during this time, are you tasting these home wines and saying, there's something there, or I would prefer to buy my wines off another place? Like, what were your thoughts?
Well, I was very excited about it. And actually, the wines that were coming out of the basement were really good. And we were delighted, and the family was delighted. We had a little operation there that the family enjoyed watching and being part of. Our partners, Bruce and Renee Perry, joined us in 85. So those first few years, it took Ben a few years to ramp up. And by 85, he was making the wine and putting it in 60-gallon barrels, which was terrific, was what we were shooting for. And so we were using Francois Fair French oak right from the beginning.
I don't think many basement winemakers are using that quality of a barrel program, or maybe any barrels for that matter, because that's not easy to get.
Well, so Bruce Perry also worked at the newspaper. So I had been making wine for 5 years, and he kept tasting. He and I would get together for dinner every couple of weeks. And so in 85, he said, I'd really like to do this too. But then we put our money together, and we were able to afford to buy barrels, our first barrel. And then by 92 or 3, we were making a lot of wine. I had 9 barrels of Pinot in my basement,
wow.
2 barrels of Chardonnay, and we had 6 to 10 barrels of Zinfandel at Bruce's house.
But
we had a group of friends and family. We had 6 or 7 guys that get together, and we sold 5% to this guy, 10%, and we kept 51%. So we were making over 400 cases. It got real serious.
Out of your basement.
I was going to say, this is not a little hobby anymore. This might be now an obsession, I'll just say. That's pretty amazing.
Well, in 97, Bruce said, we should be doing this. We get enough people. We were just selling to friends and family, and everybody loved that. And we're selling at such a price that it paid for, I didn't have to put anything out. It was just sweat equity, you know. And so my part of it, all I had to do was do the winemaking and then not have to pay for it was great. But Bruce wanted to get into business, and I thought it was impossible because I still had kids, and his kids were grown. And so in 97, I gave him the challenge. He told me he wanted to do this. I gave him the challenge. If you can find a place where we could make wine without buying equipment and just pay for grapes and barrels and rent, and then just pay to per ton for use of the equipment, I could do that. But if we had to buy equipment, I'm out. And little did I know, in 2 weeks he found Windsor Oaks, which was the old Belvern Winery.
Mm. Yes.
And we started there in 98, and we stayed there until July of 2005.
Wow.
And then we moved to our present location at Timbercrest Farms on Dry Creek.
So when you found Windsor Oaks, were you still living in San Francisco? You're still living and working in San Francisco, raising kids, so you're not ready to move up here full time.
During harvest, I would take time off of work. I had a very liberal job where they would let you take leave of absence or extra. I got 4 weeks vacation, then I got 5 weeks vacation, and then I just added some extra time to that. And I would live in my van at the side of the building at down a dirt road. It's a mile and a half down a dirt road to get to the old Belvern Winery, which is now Notre Vue.
Right.
But we set up a campsite, and it was just like camping, and we did this. Every once in a while, I went back home to check on things, and then I'd appear back at work with this great tan in here.
Where were you? Amazing.
What have you been up to?
Yeah, but you didn't look relaxed, probably, because you've been working so hard.
It was a lot of work, and we could store barrels inside, but we had to make our wine on the side of the building. So we bought those tent things and ran some electricity out there, and we made our wine on the side of a dirt road for about the first 3 years there. And there was two other wineries, and one of the wineries grew too fast, too quickly, and went out of business in 2 years. And then we moved inside. So that was kind of
upgraded.
A better move.
Yeah. You got upgraded. Yeah. You put in your time.
Yes, we did.
These are humble beginnings. So at any point in time, is Bert Williams sort of tasting your wines throughout this
Yes, and all during that period of time, from like the 80s all through the late 80s and early 90s, I worked at least a week every year during harvest. So I also got to work with the master. He was such a great mentor, not only for me, but there's a big group of us that worked at William Sellian that came out. There's many different wineries that were mentored by Bert. And so working there, I did a lot of the different jobs, and just watching Bert in action was a great opportunity. And so that worked for me. And then I brought wine to Bert, and then he would give us tips on vineyards to go talk to. So
incredible resource.
It was great.
No, and what I love about this story is just how entrepreneurial it is. And we often bring in multi-generational families on the show that have deep roots here. But it just goes to show, and it's part of why I love Sonoma County so much, is that if you really do have a passion and you want to try something, there are mentors, there are ways to do this, the custom crush sort of model that allows people to come in that just love it and figure out if you can really make a go of it. So I think both of those stories are so much a part of Sonoma County's history and what makes it such a special wine region.
Mm-hmm. And it isn't always, the process isn't always pretty, but the wines end up being pretty, which is the magic of it, right? Like, it doesn't have to be this glamorous setup.
It was guerrilla. guerrilla winemaking.
Yeah,
we beg, borrowed, and steal the equipment, whatever we can do to do it. You know, this whole thing came around. I had a very stressful job at a newspaper. I was head of the Teamster Union there, and so a lot of guys after work would go and drink. But I had this little hobby at home that my kids participated and helped, and so it kind of led, one thing led to the other, and it ended up that this became my second career, and now I've been making wine for 45 years.
Yeah.
So.
Just incredible. Crazy. I was going to say, I don't know if we've had any other guests that started making wine in their basement in San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly in the modern era. And the great thing about San Francisco certainly is that it's always 55 degrees, right? So you can store things and know that they're not going to get heat damage or start to ferment.
Our house is on a very steep hill. And so we would bring the juice back, and we would run it by hose into the barrels.
It's like gravity flow.
Early days.
And then the house was actually, the basement was, some part of it was under the underground. So we were like at always 58 degrees steady,
perfect
summer
setup
or winter.
All right,
we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk more with Ben and Yolanda Papapietro. Back on The Good Stuff with Ben and Yolanda Papapietro. And I think before we go any further, we need to open some wine.
I know, I've been staring at it.
So Ben, go ahead, do the honors.
Oh, I love it. Look at that. I love that sound.
Nicely done.
Bravo. Success.
And tell us a little bit about what you are pouring.
So we brought our 2022 Peter's Vineyard Chardonnay. We've been making this Chardonnay for many years from Peter's Vineyard. It's high ridge above the Sebastopol in the Petaluma Gap, and it's on Gold Ridge soil. Wonderful. It used to be an apple orchard by a Japanese grower, Tom Mukaita, which was Randy Peter's father-in-law.
Oh.
And so... can't quite reach that one.
I know. Yeah. I think we're good. And you asked him a question just as he's pouring wine. Why are you doing that?
I don't have a glass.
I know.
Maybe that's
Oh, there we go. Now
I will.
Okay. Cheers.
Thank you for bringing this.
Sure.
So I would love to know, Yolanda, when you started to get involved in, I mean, clearly you're always involved. Is happening at your home.
You didn't ever let me ask how they met.
Okay.
Well, I was 14 years old when I met Ben.
I knew it'd be interesting. See,
my sister was actually dating his best friend, so who was 4 years older than me.
Yeah,
and we used to wave at each other as my sister took off with her friends, and eventually they married. And Ben was the best man. I was the maid of honor.
Oh.
And he had
we still
it.
Weren't dating.
We still had girlfriends and boyfriends
but a
through
wedding.
Many years. And then in my early 20s, then we got together and started dating.
Wow.
And that's how we...
47 years.
Was there wine on your first date?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Dinner.
Either at a party or any kind of meal, we were always drinking wine. So our wine enthusiasm was right from the very beginning.
Yeah. So what wines did you serve at your own wedding?
Oh well, that's a good question.
Coming from Italian family. I was almost 30 when we got married. Yolanda was somewhat younger. And of the style of the day, we're kind of hippie. We didn't want a big wedding, just friends and family. And my mom, solid Italian woman, wanted a big family with second and third cousins, 400 people.
Wow.
And we're going, this ain't going to work. So we couldn't talk sense to him, so we eloped to... Carson City and got married with... Her sister and my best friend were our
witnesses. The wedding where you met?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
and so we got married in Carson City on February 6, 1976. It snowed in San Francisco. The headline in the Chronicle was "The Marin Headlands Filled with Snow." And how crazy we are. we drove in the storm up there to get married.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
But did your mother ever forgive you?
Oh, yeah. We had a small wedding just for family in our front room with our friend, a priest, that did marry us eventually.
See, again. I knew it'd be interesting.
I didn't say it wasn't going to be interesting. I just jumped ahead, I guess. But
oh, my gosh.
Okay, so you're married, hippies, you're in San Francisco.
Well, we were employed.
Yes,
employed. Me more so than...
Employed hippies.
Hippie than she.
Okay.
But we had, you know, two daughters, and eventually I did start working outside the house, and so we both had our incomes going. And raised our kids in the city, and they went to school there. Eventually, you know, through all this, they were helping us, actually, mm-hmm. punching down and doing all the things that you had to do during wine season. But I honestly have to say I was glad that Bruce talked us into moving along into a business, because each year it got larger and larger. The production got larger and larger. And, of course, the CO2 would come up into the house. We were stuffing towels and opening windows and trying to stay, you know, keep the air fresh as we fermented all that wine downstairs.
That's another consideration.
It was a wild and crazy
tile,
time.
Rugs under the door so the
fumes weren't coming up into the house.
You got to worry
about. Yeah, you don't really have carbon capture abilities at that point. But I'm sorry, we're all a little bit distracted because Bruce has passed, or Ben has passed around a photo of him and Yolanda on their wedding day.
Is that a wedding day photo?
No, that's just our house.
Just because early wedding era.
Yes, and it is something.
Yeah.
You guys look amazing.
Hippie is correct.
Yes.
That is a very good use of that word.
So. Incredible tie-dye.
Yes.
Mustache. Wow. All right.
That was awesome.
All right. So hopefully we can share that in some way later on social. But
yeah, there's going to be a lot of photos for this, you know, social post
between
and podcast.
That and the wine, I'm starting to get giggly. So
I know.
Sorry.
That's good. That's why we have to open the wine.
I know.
Come on.
I know.
And this is amazing Chardonnay. Maybe just talk a little bit about what we're drinking.
Well, the Chardonnay, we love the property. I guess apples, if apples do well, then fruit's going to do well there. And so we started making this in 90, well, I was a home winemaker, but then we made it 98, 99, and 2000, but then there was ABC, anything but Chardonnay.
Oh, yeah.
And I did barrel fermented, full malolactic, which this is, barrel fermented in a lot of new oak, but with a gentle hand. So we liked it, but I didn't want to fight with people trying to sell Chardonnay, so I just made more Pinot and stopped making Chardonnay until 2005 when we moved to our new location that had more room. I could make up to 8,000 cases there. So I added the Chardonnay back, and we only made 200 cases, saying that if we can't sell it, Bruce and I will drink it because we love this style of Chardonnay. So,
me too.
And so now we make a little bit more, about 400 or 500 cases of Chardonnay, but it's always limited production.
This is very much my style of Chardonnay.
Yeah, it's delicious. All right, so you move up here and you start a business. Not easy to do. Still.
And not easy in this particular business, which is not easy at all.
Yeah.
Bruce and Renee actually moved up here first.
Okay.
So they started the business side of the operation. They did a little tasting at their homes here and there.
Yeah. On West Side Road. They lived on West Side Road. And so they would host people to come and visit and taste wine there, and the chickens were running around, and it was, you know, they had eggs, and people would buy wine or taste some wine, and they'd send them home with some eggs.
Amazing.
It was really, Bruce and Renee did the marketing. They did a wonderful job. Renee's done a wonderful job running the tasting room. We didn't have a tasting room until 2005, so that was tough even getting to that point. Yeah. Once we had the tasting room, things worked much better. For us in this place where we're at Timbercrest Farm, this wonderful spot with a few other wineries and a great place to spend the day. If we have a bocce ball court and picnic grounds, it's quite a spot.
Right.
So are you there almost every day?
Not so much these days.
Okay.
I'm trying to take a little step back. So I promote. I have my assistant winemaker Dave Lowe and my cellar master Tyson Freeman. Both have been with me over 20 years.
Wow.
And so this last year, I promoted Dave to winemaker and Tyson to assistant winemaker, and I promoted myself to executive winemaker, which means I don't have to be there every day.
That's a good move. Yeah, well done. Well done.
Well, I worked 37 years at the newspaper, nice. And this is a 26th year in the wine business. So we're traveling a little bit more
That's
these days.
Good.
Right. Hopefully wine travel or maybe.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Well, we're traveling.
Well, we're actually taking a trip next year to Portugal, and this will be our ninth cruise.
Okay.
With the winery, and it's terrific. We do a pre and post trips as well, and always tasting wine.
So you are the host of that cruise,
correct.
And people can sign on to join you.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, we have to take
That's
a quick
so fun,
break.
Yeah.
When we come back, we can get a little bit more detail on how people can find out about that.
Wonderful.
Take a quick break, but Yolanda, tell us, we want to know more about this cruise. What is the itinerary? How can people sign up?
Yeah, so we're going with Uniworld through Food and Wine Trails. We'll be going May 25th through early June, and we'll have a pre-cruise tour in Lisbon for 3 days and a post-cruise tour in San Sebastian and Bilbao.
Oh my God.
I love Bilbao.
And it's a very exciting cruise itinerary. We'll be going through several different wineries as well as seeing the port houses, tasting wines through them, taking off-ship tours as well. And then we also have many other things going on at our winery. 4791 Dry Creek Road is our address.
Yes. Well done.
Timbercrest Farms. We do a lobster and Chardonnay event. That'll be coming up in July. And we have many other events that we do. And in addition to being part of all the other Sonoma County events that are ongoing.
It sounds like you have a very active and loyal and probably passionate wine club.
We do. We are so fortunate. And, most of our, the ads come from all our customers. That's how we are better known, just by word of mouth. So we've been very, very fortunate in that.
Yeah, like our customers are like disciples spreading the word. We're so thankful and so they're so supportive of us. We've probably sell 95% of our wine direct to consumer.
Amazing.
Because of our club being so supportive.
And we do have some lovely fine dining places that have been very around the country, mm-hmm. that have been very supportive. But in addition, we do virtual events that really capture the people that can't actually come to the winery. So we have East Coast, Midwest, people from all over the country.
Well, and I like next weekend, because I'm looking at your website now, listen to our show and from 1 to 2, and then at 2 o'clock they can come visit you for wine, cheese, and chocolate.
That's
on
correct.
June 29th.
Yes, so we're just always
just saying, everyone, just saying.
Yeah, always having something good going on. All right, and then we need the website, too.
Yes, www.papapietro-perry.com.
That's Papa, PAPAPIETRO-Perry, PERRY.com.
Yes, and we'd love to see you there. It's a beautiful patio out there overlooking Dry Creek Valley. We have a terrific team that is just so phenomenal.
And so what do people come and typically taste? Can they taste everything that you produce, or do you sort of have Pinot options?
Well, we generally have 4 to 5 Pinots. Sometimes we have the Zinfandel open. We often
Rosé.
Start, yes, we often start with our Chardonnay. We also have a lovely Rosé that is, it comes and goes very quickly.
I imagine, yeah.
But we have, just as I said, a great staff. They'll walk them through the wines, give them as much information as they'd like. So
we focus on Pinot, though. We make 9 different Pinots. We make a little Zinfandel from Dry Creek, the property we're on. It could be considered estate property, Timbercrest mm-hmm. Farm. And the Zinfandel Chardonnay and the Rosé of Pinot Noir. So that's our lineup. But we're really a Pinot house.
I want to know
Dry Creek.
If someone were to stumble upon your house in San Francisco in the basement, is there any like jewels of wine stashed somewhere still waiting for their
excavation.
Moment?
Yeah.
Like
yes.
Oh, okay.
There is a lot of wine down there. You know, we made wine, and I have pallets, probably 2 or 3 pallets of wine.
Some library wine there.
Yeah. Some library wine there.
There
for
you
sure.
go.
I want to try that.
I know, it's amazing.
Okay, next show we'll break some of that.
We're
stuff
gonna be
out.
On the road.
Yeah,
in San Francisco.
Well, we want to thank you so much for joining us, Ben and Yolanda Papipietri from Papipietro Perry. And gosh, that cruise sounds amazing. Go check them out.
Yeah, cruise sounds amazing. What a great story. Yeah. So thank you for sharing that, and thank you for being so tenacious to make it all the way through.
Entrepreneurial.
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Chris, I think I say this every week, but God, that was a great story.
Great
know. People.
They
great
were
story.
Amazing.
And to your point, there's so many different paths that people have taken to be successful and to build a wine business or a vineyard yeah. business here. And they are yet another example.
Well, and some of the stories, what I love is that they walked in and I didn't necessarily know, had I not read their bios, whether they were first generation Sonoma County yeah. winemakers, or had they been here for generations. So, I mean, I think, you know, you do really integrate into the fabric of Sonoma County. It's cool. And they're yeah. super cool people.
I did love like that nod to sort of spending summers in Russian River and yeah. boys and sort of having
it.
Something, a tie to Sonoma County, but you know, it's just such a different era.
Well, I mean, it is time to talk about our Tuesday night wines.
Yep.
So I'm going to go first because I just love the relationship I've seen evolve between this partnership of grower, winemaker, winery. So I'm going to have the 2020 Laris Family Vineyards Pinot Noir. Nick Laris, longtime grape grower in Russian River Valley, literally one of the nicest human beings, coolest cat out there.
future guest
for sure. And what I love about the story is we actually honored him with a Sustainable Farmer Award a couple years ago, and Ben and Yolanda were there cheering him on and like sitting at the table with him and his family, which I think just goes to the deep roots of, you know, the two families, how you work together as winemaker and grower. So the Laris Vineyard Pinot Noir from Papipietro Perry. That's
right.
What I'm doing.
Well, I think that's an excellent choice. I love the backstory. I do think future guest for sure. He sounds
yes.
fascinating. But I also love, I mean, Ben and Yolanda both, like, I think that they spoke to that longevity. Like, they yeah. don't have generations behind them, but they certainly have nurtured the careers of people yeah. For the time that they've been in business.
Yes.
And I love that, too. And speaks to the consistency of their wines. I think they recognize that. So I'm going to go, I mean, it's June, it's hot. I'm going with a rosé.
Love it.
Rosé of Pinot Noir from Russian River, 2023 vintage, which, I mean, come on. Stunning vintage, great year for all grapes, but this rosé is going to be excellent. And I think it just, you know, it's another twist on them being a Pinot house.
Yep.
They can make different things from Pinot. So I'm going with that.
I love it. I'll be over.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, yet again, we have to thank our guests. Thank you for joining us on the Good Stuff Hour. And Carissa, any parting words?
No, drink drink good wine from Sonoma County, I think is good advice always.
From Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.